Welcome to this week's episode of the North Bible Church Podcast. Now, let's join our pastor as we open God's Word together.
Long ago, or maybe not so long ago, there was a tribe in a dark, cold cavern. They were called the cave dwellers. And they would huddle together and cry against the chill. Loud and long, they would wail. It was all they did. It was all they knew to do. The sounds in the cave were mournful, but the people didn't know it, for they had never known joy. The spirit in the cave was death, but they didn't know it because they had never known life. But then one day they heard a different voice. "I have heard your cries," it announced. "I have felt your chill and seen your darkness, and I have come to help." The cave people grew quiet. They had never heard this voice. Hope sounded strange to their ears. "How can we know that you have come to help?" "Trust me," he answered. "I have what you need." The cave people peered through the darkness at the figure of the stranger. He was stacking something, then stooping and stacking some more. "What are you doing?" one cried nervously. The stranger did not answer. "What are you making?" one shouted even louder. Still no response. "Tell us," they demanded. The visitor stood and spoke in the direction of the voices. "I have what you need." And with that, he turned to the pile at his feet and lit it. Wood ignited, flames erupted, and light filled the cavern. The cave people turned away in fear. "Put it out," they cried. "It hurts to see it." "Light always hurts before it helps," he said. "Step closer, the pain will pass." "Not I," declared a voice. "Nor I," said a second. "Only a fool would risk exposing his eyes to such light." The stranger stood next to the fire. "Would you prefer the darkness? Would you prefer the cold?" "Don't consult your fears. Take a step of faith." For a long time, no one spoke. The people hovered in groups, covering their eyes. The fire builder stood next to the fire. "It's warm here," he invited. "He's right," someone said from behind him. "It is warmer." The stranger turned and saw a figure slowly stepping toward the fire, a young woman. "I can open my eyes now," she proclaimed. I can see." "Come closer," invited the fire builder. She did. She stepped into the ring of light. "It's so warm." She extended her hands. She sighed, and the chill began to pass from her. "Come, everyone. Feel the warmth," she said. "Silence, woman," cried one of the cave dwellers. "Dare you lead us into your folly? Leave us and take your light with you." She turned to the stranger. "Why don't they come?" "They choose the chill, for though it's cold, it's all they know. They'd rather be cold than change." "And live in the dark," she said. "And live in the dark," the stranger responded. The now warm woman stood silent, looking first at the dark, then at the man. "Will you too leave the fire?" he asked. She paused. She said, "I cannot. I cannot bear the cold. I cannot bear the dark." Then she spoke again. "But nor can I bear the thought of my people being in darkness." "You don't have to," he responded. Reaching into the fire, he removed a stick with a slight flame on it. He said, "Carry this to your people. Tell them the light is here and the light is warm. Tell them the light is for all who desire it." And so she took the small flame and stepped into the shadows. It's a small excerpt from an author some of you know named Max Lucado, from a little read called The Cave People. What would happen to you if you lived for one entire year in the dark? What if for the next 365 days you were stuck in a cave with no light? How would that affect you? What would happen to your state of mind? What would happen to your relationships? What would happen to your eyesight? Your sense of perception, all of those things, if you for the next year lived in entire darkness. We were never meant to live in darkness. We were created to live in light. We need the light of the sun, S-U-N, to truly live. But the reality is, we also need the light of the sun, S-O-N, to truly live. And that's really the big idea we're going to look at today. We need the light of the Son of God, to truly live. And Christmas is a time where we celebrate God rescuing us from darkness by giving us light through the birth of his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus embodies God's light. Jesus embodies God's life. That's why we've called this Christmas teaching series, Light Has Come. The birth of Jesus is a celebration of God's light, the light which continues into darkness. So let's look closer at this. Open up your Bibles with me to the book of John, chapter 1. We're actually going to be in the book of John, chapter 1, for the next few weeks. If you are new to North or you're new to the faith, I don't know where you're at in your faith journey, we believe it's very important that you get your hands on a Bible and that you read the Bible on your own. Let God speak for himself, and then we come along as a church to support and point out what God says. And so if you do not own a Bible, you get one of your first Christmas gifts today. On your way out, please stop at the guest reception area. We have free Bibles. Take one. It's a gift for you. And if you also like to have access to your Bible on your devices, we have some apps that we recommend, YouVersion and the ESV Bible Online. There's some other apps that you're going to want to look at and check out. You can download to your devices. But let's all find ourselves today in our Bibles in John chapter 1. We're just going to read through the first five verses. There's probably not much there that we can get in five verses, right? There's probably not a lot of content that we could wring out in five verses, but we know that's not true. So let's just read a little, teach a little here. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. For those of you who might not be familiar with the Bible, this is written by the man named the Apostle John. John was one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. He followed Jesus and was part of the life and ministry of Jesus. And so God spoke through his prophets. God spoke through the disciples. He captured his thoughts for us, his teachings for us in the scriptures. And here we see the Apostle John conveying God's word to us. In John chapter 1, he says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Let's stop there. When you look at the books called the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? These are four books that have, you know, kind of think of four camera angles on the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. It's really interesting how each gospel starts. Mark's gospel starts with the adult life of Jesus, right? As he launches his ministry, his baptism, and all those events. That's where Mark starts. Luke starts with the birth announcement. It's one of the Christmas narratives. We look at the appearing of the angel that announced to Mary and to Joseph that this child would come. And so Luke starts with the birth announcement. Matthew goes all the way back through the family tree. A lot of times when you open up the book of Matthew, some of you hold your breath because you see this long list of names. So-and-so gave birth to so-and-so, who gave birth to so-and-so, who gave birth to so-and-so. And what you see happening there is the development of the family tree that ties Jesus Christ all the way back to Abraham, the father of the Hebrew nation, God's special man that he pulled aside and created a nation, a people around. And so we take that to Matthew. But John goes all the way back. It's fun. Mark starts here. Luke starts here. Matthew starts here. It's almost like John goes, sucker, I'll go way back here, right? It's all the way back to the beginning, pre-creation. In the beginning was the Word. And for those of you who study the Bible, you're going, this sounds familiar. It's an echoing of Genesis chapter 1. John references Jesus from eternity past. It's a parallel to Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be, what was the first thing he said? Let there be light. Man, that's significant that the first spoken creation of God was light. And there was light, and God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. The Apostle John connects creation to the incarnation. You see this parallel.
See, in the beginning was the Word. Well, who's the Word? It's Jesus. That's who's being spoken of here. If you continue down to John chapter 1, verse 14, it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the incarnation where God wraps himself in flesh and comes to be among his creation. And so we know we're talking about Jesus here when we're talking about the Word, and the Word is Jesus Christ. And what do we learn about Jesus from just these few verses? This kind of interesting, mysterious language. First, we learn that he's the Word. The word there in the Greek is called the word logos. The Word is God's powerful self-expression. It helps us understand him better when it comes to God's nature, his will, creation, salvation. Just as our wills, like when you talk to people and you use your words, you're conveying your heart, your thoughts, your motives. It's the communication vehicle to express who you are. Jesus is the Word. When Jesus came, he's given us the heart, the mind, the thoughts, the will of God. He is the Word. He embodies the Word. He's the living Word. And so Jesus relays God's heart and mind and thoughts and plans to us because he is God. He's the Word. He's the ultimate revelation of God. Jesus is the living picture of God, of God's nature, of God's holiness. He speaks God's mind to us. He communicates the reality of God to us, the power of God, the personhood of God, the plan for God, our need for God, all given through the Word, the Logos. Jesus is also God's final word to mankind. Whatever you do with Jesus determines not just what kind of life you live here on earth, but what happens after this life. God's not silent on the afterlife and our need for forgiveness, our need for relationship with the Father, to be able to be with the Lord. So we see that he's the Word. We also see that he was pre-existent. He was eternal. In the beginning, like before time, before space and the material universe was created, the Word existed already. Jesus was pre-existent. He always existed. He wasn't created like everything else. He wasn't part of the creation. We'll see here in a little bit. He was actually the creator. We also see that he is one with the Father. This is really that mysterious nature of the Trinity, right? This is where God says there's only one God. There's not many gods. There's one God. Yet, he chose to dwell in this three-personhood existence. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Co-eternal, co-equal. One's not more God than the other. It's three unique personhoods, yet all bundled up into this one God. I know it's mind-blowing. We don't fully understand it, but it's real. There's a lot of things that are real that we don't fully understand in life. The Trinity is one of them. But he was one with the Father. Intimate connection, companionship. The Word is who God is. The Word knows God intimately and personally the way no one else has ever known God. There was a time when all there was God. Isn't that one of the hardest questions? Like, where did God come from? Well, the theological answer is he just has always been there. He's the uncaused one, the eternal one, the self-existing one. And our minds just go, like we just flip a breaker. Like we don't even have a file folder for that. But it's true. And so we see the Word had this interpersonal relationship between God the Father, God the Son. You also see that he is, the Word is God. Not only was he with God, he is God. Divinity clothed in humanity. All the divine attributes of God. He was divine in essence. This is why we call it the incarnation. God become flesh. We also see that he's the creator. We see that God the Father is the initiator of creation. But the Son of God is the agent of creation. It says that the Word created all things. So everything material, immaterial, physical, spiritual, tangible, intangible, the Father initiated creation, but Jesus was the agent of creation. Everything made came through him, God the Son. We see in the book of Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, it says about Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God. This is God become reality. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. I want to pause there. When you hear that word firstborn, you're like, oh, wait, I thought Jesus wasn't created. He's not. Firstborn is an ancient Eastern concept that talks about the preeminence of someone. The firstborn in a family always had greater authority, greater responsibility. There's a preeminence. So when it talks about Jesus being the firstborn of creation, it talks about his authority over creation. It talks about his responsibility over creation. He's the firstborn. He has all those rights of the firstborn. And for by him, Jesus, the Word, all things were what? Created. In heaven and on earth. Visible, invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So we learn about Jesus, these aspects. Before Jesus became the Savior of mankind, he was already creator. Many scriptures speak about that. This is Jesus. This is the one who gives life and light. Let's continue. John chapter 1, look at verses 4 and 5 now. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What we see here is that the light has gone into the world. And the light is not just a concept. It's not just a philosophy. It's not just a created essence. The light is a person, Jesus Christ. God, in his love, sent Jesus into the world to light our way, leading us out of a world of death and darkness and into life with him. Now, this is where it's really important to learn a little bit about those original languages. Because in our English, look, when we look at the Bible, you know, the Bible was originally written in Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic, right? And none of us are really fluent in any of those languages. And a lot of times when we translate those original languages into our modern-day English, we lose some extra nuances and layers of understanding. It says that Jesus was the life. Now, there's three dominant Greek words when it comes to life. One of them is bios. What word comes to your mind when you hear bios? Biology, right? And so when you talk about life, there's the physicality part. There's the physical, biological part of life. So yes, in a sense, because he's creator, Jesus is the life, but that's not the word that was used here. Another word that's used when talking about life is psuche. Psuche, it's the inner life. It's where we get the word psychology from the word psuche. It's the mental, emotional, inner thought life. And so we know if you've ever stood by an open casket, you can tell that the bios is no longer there, but even more so, you can tell that the psuche is no longer there. Like the person that you know and love is not there. This is a shell. This is a cocoon. Like there's more to the story. What's going on? And so when we look at the psychological part, the psuche, yes, because Jesus is creator, because he rules over our hearts and thoughts and minds when we surrender to him, that's true, but that's not the word used here. The word used here is the word zoe. Everyone say zoe. See, look at your Greek-speaking self. The word zoe is such a powerful word. It means the spiritual life, the forever life, the everlasting life, the divine life. We could say this is true life. Zoe is like where everything comes together, but there's a life that lives beyond our current understanding. But once you tap into the supernatural, once you tap into the spiritual aspect of who God is and how he's revealed himself and what he has for us, when you surrender to Christ and you receive Jesus, you receive the life, you receive Zoe. Spiritual life, the forever life. And it's a life not just waiting for us. It's not like Zoe's waiting in heaven for when we're done with this earth. Zoe starts here now, radically transforms the kind of life you live here. Those of you who have been following Jesus, which is most of you here, you can remember what you were like before you met Jesus, what you thought about, what was important to you, what you valued, what you were all about. And when Jesus stepped in and rescued you and called you to himself, your life radically changed. And you entered into Zoe, this supernatural life. And then it just continues on forever. And it just gets better and better and better. And then it crosses over into the next realm of eternity. Jesus is the life. He's the Zoe. He's the divine life, the supernatural life, the forever life. And this life that we're talking about was the light for people. In him was the life, and this life, the Zoe, is the light of holiness, the light of revelation, the light of truth. Jesus is the light that draws humanity to God. He's a lighthouse to warn. He's a flashlight to guide. He's a beacon to call. He's a lamp to illuminate. God spoke forth creation with his word, and then all life came to existence. Jesus, when he gives us his word and we receive and believe, gives us new life, true life. That's why he came. He's the life, but also he is the light. And not just some little light bulb in the darkness. It's the most piercing, brilliant light ever provided by God. Think of the connection. When you think about light, we talk about the sun, S-U-N, and the sun, S-O-N. Think about life and light. Think about sunshine and vitamin D, all right? And so we know we need the sun, S-U-N, the sunshine vitamin, vitamin D. The body produces vitamin D when it's exposed to sunlight in safe doses. Sunshine gives us the UV rays through our skin and biological systems are converted to vitamin D, which benefits us both biologically and psychologically. We know that vitamin D helps our bodies because it helps benefit our cells, our organs. It regulates calcium. It regulates metabolic functions. It's good for skeleton health. It's good for our immune systems. Like, if you decide to go get stuck in a dark cave for a year, it's not going to go well for you. Because biologically, you'll be deficient of vitamin D, and it's going to have negative effects on all those biological systems. Also, we all know psychologically how beneficial it is. Because serotonin is produced, which regulates mood. And so we see that depending on how much sun you get, depression, anxiety, happiness, optimism, motivation, like negative emotions increase with the lack of light. I know some of you are personally acquainted with that because maybe you didn't, you weren't born and raised in Arizona. Maybe you come from the Pacific Northwest. I know my youngest daughter and I took a trip there about a year and a half ago, and she hadn't been to Oregon yet. She hadn't been up to the Pacific Northwest. She's like, it's so green. I'm like, honey, there's a reason for that. It's called rain. And in order to get lots and lots and lots of rain, you have to have lots and lots of gray clouds. And so some of you that have read the Pacific Northwest know what I'm talking about. A lot of you know our story. We're California natives, so we had plenty of sun growing up, but we spent 12 and a half years in Cleveland, Ohio. Loved that season of our life. It was great, but the hardest part about that was the gray. Like, out of 12 months, if 11 and a half months is gray, right? Now that's an exaggeration, but we noticed the effects of, man, when it snowed and the sun was out, no big deal. When it snowed and snowed and snowed and snowed and we just felt like we were in a gray snow globe for months, that's hard because we need the sunlight. And so we need our sun, S-U-N, but we also need the sun. Jesus Christ is the brightest light that ever stepped into human history. His life was the light of men. The divine life embodied light for humanity. Jesus is the light. And something happens when you understand that. You know, Jesus said that about himself. John 8, 12, we threw this out last week. I'm going to throw it out again. Jesus spoke and said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Any guess what that light of life, what life word that is again? Any guesses? Zoe. Like, when you just zoom out for a second, what you recognize is from the moment we're born with a sin nature. We step into this world. This world's got a lot of darkness because when God created the world, it was perfect, flawless. He created the first humans, the first man, the first woman. Everything was beautiful. There was just one simple rule. I've given you all this fruit, but yet this one tree, you can't eat from it. God gave us enough of a free will to be able to say yes or no to the temptation. And our ancient ancestors said yes to the temptation. And once Adam and Eve ate from the forbidden fruits, the world got broken, creation got broken, and so darkness came in. And so we're born with this inner darkness. We've talked about this so many times. Like, there's the argument, is man inherently good or evil from birth and as we grow up? And when you study theology, you recognize that people are born inherently bad. And we don't like to hear that, but that's the hard truth. And for those of you who wrestle with that, go like, no, it's more about your environment and your influences. Yeah, your environment and your influences and experiences are tremendously important in your life and do shape your life. But the reality that we have a sin nature, this darkness inside of us, is very evident early on with little kids, right? We've talked about this so many times. You never have to sit down with a child and say, I'm going to teach you how to misbehave. I'm going to teach you how to say no. I'm going to teach you how to say mine. I'm going to teach you how to disobey. You never have to do that. It just comes online, right? In fact, so many parents' hearts are broken because it's like, are they going to say mom first or dad first? Is it going to be mommy or daddy? And the first word is no. That's a heartbreak right there. Darkness. We look at the headlines. Like, look at the headlines now, right? I mean, we got wars, rumors of wars, like straight out of the stuff Jesus is saying. We know we're trending toward the second return of Christ. We know that all this stuff's getting thicker. If you're gonna create a whole lot of anxiety for yourself if you just listen to news, right? There's a lot going on. There's a lot of darkness. We look at poverty, and we look at sex trafficking, and we look at wars, and we look at terrorism, we look at oppression, we look at all of this and go, there's so much darkness in our world. But God steps in with his light. He stepped into my life, he stepped into your life, he steps into the world and provides light. He hasn't taken away the darkness yet. There is a day coming when darkness will be gone, vanquished forever. But we're living in the in-between now. Jesus says, I'm the light you need. Follow me. Don't follow your feelings. Don't follow your opinions. Don't follow the opinions of others. Don't follow the worldly systems. Follow me. And if you do, you're not going to walk in the dark. You're going to have light. Now, something very important when we look at John. Let's go back to John chapter 1, verses 5. It says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is very important. Everything up to this point, John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, and even 4, everything's past tense. The word was, the word is, right? Speaking about a recognition of what was before. He created. But then he says, the light shines. He switches to present tense. Right now, currently, the light of Christ still is shining in the darkness. Whatever you're fighting right now, whatever darkness you're wrestling with right now, in this moment, the light of Christ is shining. And for those of you following Jesus, you know what that looks like. You know that even though you might have a diagnosis that's terrifying, there's light in the midst of that darkness. For those of you that have major relational upheaval, your family, your friends, whatever it is, in the midst of all that, there's still a light that shines. Job loss, man, frustrations, physical limitations, whatever it is, infertility, death, whatever darkness we're walking through, the light of Christ currently, presently, still shines in the midst of that. And the more you follow Christ and the closer you get to Christ, the lighter the brighter the light is. That's the weird nature about light. The darker the darkness, the brighter the light shines. A few nights ago, just stepped out on one of those typical, beautiful Arizona nights. Just looked up. There was a lot less light in the neighborhood, man. Just the stars, right? Just the stars. And I'm like, oh, that's a planet. I don't know which one. So I cheated and got my Bible app out. Okay, that's Jupiter. That's Saturn, looking at the stars and just trying to remember some of their names. And just, I wouldn't have seen those if it wasn't dark outside. And so there's a sense that God allows the dark in our lives so we can see the light better. Jesus is the light. What does light do? Let's talk about that for a second. Light illuminates. So the light of Christ illuminates. When we think about illumination, we think about knowledge, we think about truth. We think about truth from error and intellectually being enlightened to what the truth of God, so light illuminates. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, speaking about those who do not know the Lord, it says they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. All of us have loved ones right now that their minds and their hearts are darkened spiritually. They see the light, like the cave dwellers in the story, they pull back into the cave. They don't want it. That's the thing about light. Light either draws you to or it pushes you away. You want to try an interesting experiment? Just say the name of Jesus. He's the light of the world, right? Just drop the name of Jesus in different contexts and see what happens. Drop it in that group at work at lunch. Drop it some of those family members. Drop it some of your friends. Go, hey, I've been thinking about Jesus lately, and see what happens. See those who lean in and go, really? And those who are like, what are you talking about? Because light either pushes away or draws. And so it illuminates. Also it reveals. Light reveals, exposes sin and motives. Look, when I think about light revealing and exposing, I don't know how many of you have this experience. I think we've all been there. Something falls underneath the stove. Something falls underneath the fridge. Something falls underneath the washer and dryer. And you get your light out to get down there. And the second you shine the light under your appliance, what do you see? You see like a whole ecosystem, right? There's like all sorts of things living down there. All dust bunnies and like, you know, the sock from 4 years ago that's probably got mold all over it or whatever. Like there's stuff under there. And the light exposes all of that. That's the bittersweet nature of the light of Christ. Christ shines, and he looks under our appliances like, whoa, man, your motives. Man, your thought life. Man, the heart, those hard places in your heart. Why does he shine it there? Does he shine it there to condemn us? To shame us? Is that why he does it? What's your guess, yes or no? No. Somebody's like, I don't know what to say. No. He reveals it so that we could see that condition and go, I'm dirty. I can't clean myself. How do you do this? He goes, come to me. Come to me. I'll clean you. I'll take care of you. See, that's when we look to the cross. Jesus in the flesh lived that perfect life. He went to the cross and died for our sin, for all the stuff under our appliances. That's why Jesus hung on the cross as our sacrifice, as our sin substitute. So that one day when we stand face to face to a holy God and trying this one on for size, why should I let you into my heaven? Why should I spend eternity with you? Well, I was a good person. Yeah, that's not going to stick. You're trusting in yourself. Jesus did all the heavy lifting on the cross. He reveals our sin so that we can put it on him and come to him for forgiveness. Light also guides. And life's so hard. Like, do I go left? Do I go right? Do I take the job? Do I not take the job? Do I date that girl? Do I date that guy? Do I not? Do I break up? Do I stay together? Do we get married? Is it time to have kids? Should I move? Like, over and over and over again, we have all these decisions that sometimes are haunting, sometimes are paralyzing. We turn to God's word. We pray. It's interesting. I've been talking to quite a handful of unbelievers lately that are searching. And one of the ways they're seeing God show up a lot, the thing that's keeping them attentive to the fact that there's this God out there who they'd like to get to know about, is they're starting to pray. And they're seeing God show up in how they pray. And not just a little lamp, like, God, give me this, God, give me that, but they're starting to just really like, God, if you're real, help me. And it's funny because a lot of them are seeing God show up in the intangibles. It's not like, oh, I needed a car and a car was in my driveway with a ribbon on it the next day. It's not that kind of answered prayer. It's like, I'm going through something hard right now, and I find myself acting uncharacteristically different as I'm praying. And I've never had peace like this. I've never had hope like this. And they don't even know Christ yet, but God's given little samplings of what could be theirs every day, the Zoe life every day. And so light guides us. God gives us guidance, and then it protects us. Heat from the cold. Man, if you're out in the jungle somewhere and you got critters out there that want to eat your face off, you just got to light a big fire and have a big torch and you're protected from the predator. God's light protects. It defeats the darkness. In fact, this pure, brilliant, piercing, exposing, revealing truth, knowledge, giving life protects us. Here in the scripture it says, the darkness shall not overcome it. Some of your English translations might use different words like comprehend. The mention of darkness here reminds us that there's a spiritual battle. There's good and evil. There's a devil. There's God. But it talks about the darkness cannot comprehend or overcome the light. What that concept basically means is darkness cannot extinguish. Darkness cannot overrule or override the light. If any of you have ever been in a pitch black cave or a pitch black room, and all you do is light a tiny tea light candle, the darkness cannot overcome that tiny light. The light fills the space. Just a little light. Christ was the biggest light ever. He's pushing back the darkness. Darkness will not overrule. Darkness doesn't stand a chance against this light. Everything that we're talking about right now, everything that we're looking at, speaks to the supremacy of Jesus. It supports the compelling case of why to believe in him, why to follow him. Because he's the life and the light. And let me just remind you that living in darkness is not truly living. The cave dwellers in the story, that wasn't life. And yet when the stranger came offering light, one was brave enough to step into it, the rest ran in fear. That's no life to live in darkness. Let me ask you this. If you're, whether you don't know Christ, or whether you have professed a faith in Christ, but you're not walking with him right now, what are you going to miss out on? What negative impact in your life are you going to experience? What positive impact in your life are you going to not experience because you choose to walk in darkness instead of the light? Jesus calls us to walk in the light. You know, when you have the light of Christ, it changes who you are. It changes how you live. In John chapter 12, we have the recorded words of Jesus. He says, the light is among you for a little while longer. This is before he went to the cross. Before he died on the cross, he says, I'm going to be here a little bit more. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. So you succumb to the darkness of your living. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. When Jesus said these things, he departed and hid himself. In Ephesians 5:8, it says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. When you read all that we're reading and you walk by that, you live by that, you believe it, you become children of light. And so when you start to follow Jesus, not only do you leave the darkness behind, you enter into light. You actually join the family of light. You become a child of the light. And you become called and equipped to walk in the light. And it'd be very easy for me just to say, like, so all of you, go walk in the light of Christ. And honestly, we might have an intuitive sense of how to do that, but sometimes we're like, what exactly does that look like? Like, how do I walk in the light of Christ? Let me give you some examples. You're walking as children of light when you choose to please God over what pleases yourself. Every day. This will make me happy, but I know it won't make God happy. Make your choice. Walking as children of light, you'll walk that which pleases God over pleases self. You'll choose character over popularity. Because the world always wants you to bend your character to get the likes, to get the loves, to get the follows. Change who you are so we'll continue to like you. No. Choose character over popularity. Choose honesty over deception. Choose humility over pride. You choose generosity over greed. You choose sexual purity over sexual immorality. You choose love over hate. You choose freedom over addiction. You choose God's truth over personal opinion. There are times when we're reading Scripture when what we think and what we want to be true is not according to what God has made clear. And children of light goes, man, I really want this to be true, even though this is true. So I've got to walk in the light and follow God's word over what the culture says, my friends say, my personal opinion even is. What else would you add? There's a lot there that you could add. That could be a great lunch conversation. Like, what does it mean to walk in the light? And start to talk about that. So I encourage you to have that conversation. But for us tonight, for us this morning, coming to this concept, we're going to be looking more about in John chapter 1. We need to really crack open this deeper understanding that Jesus is the light. And we want to follow him. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up and hang out with me for a little bit. When we talk about this, this is very personal to me. I've shared with some of you before my own story. I was not raised in a home going to church. We had a Bible on a bookshelf somewhere. It was an empty foreign book, had no meaning to me. It wasn't until I was a teenager that I was introduced to Jesus. As I started hearing the Bible taught, it resonated in my spirit as truth. When I turned to God, I started praying and seeking God. He made himself known and real. And so as a teenager, I gave my life to Christ. But before that event, all of those teenage years, when I looked at my life and there was broken families, I looked at my thought life, I looked at what was important to me, I looked at what I was wrestling with, I looked at my anger, I looked at my frustration, I looked at my family dynamics, and there was just this increasing hopelessness that was going on in my life. And what I felt like is I felt like I was in a room. And every day, and there was like this one light bulb, and every day I felt like the light was getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. There was a day as a young man that I'm just like, I just want off this rock. I just want to be done. I kind of laugh when I look back now because I realize it wasn't that serious of what I tried, but my heart was set. And what I did is I went under my bathroom cabinet, and I just got all sorts of stuff. I grabbed every medicine and chemical, whatever I do, and I just made this cup of stuff. And I just drank it. Wrote my parents a goodbye note, put it on my desk, and laid on my bed, hoping to die. By the grace of God, I did not die, but man, boo, don't ever do that. But I knew that there had to be something different than the light getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer in my life. And that's when, coincidentally, I had a friend at school say, hey, have you ever been to church? I said, no. He goes, how would you like to come with me this Sunday? I'm like, I asked my parents. My parents were like, yeah, church is a good thing. And I showed up at church for the first time. First time I heard the Bible. First time I heard about Jesus. I went, there's something about this. And I didn't miss a Sunday for years. And eventually I gave my life to Christ. I can remember the day like it was yesterday where there was this moment where the pastor said, if you need Jesus, ask him to come into your life. And I did. Afterwards, I came up and I prayed with someone who helped me understand that step of faith that I was taking. And at that moment, light came flooding into my life. And that little bulb, that little dark room just went away. And ever since then, instead of living in a room with the light getting dimmer and dimmer, I feel like I live in this giant playground of amazingness, and the light gets brighter and brighter and brighter every day. Doesn't mean there's not hard stuff, difficult things, but God's there. So I don't know where you're at. I don't know what your faith journey's like. But here's what's true of all of us. If you know Christ right now, you still need to love Christ, abide in Christ, and walk in the light. Amen? And if you don't know Christ, he's calling you. He's inviting you. He's the stranger in the cave. He stepped in. He lit a fire. He's like, come to the fire. Come to the fire. It's warm here. There's light. You are welcome here. You are loved here. That's the gospel. That's the message of Christ. Jesus is our light and life. We need the sun, S-O-N, to truly live. Amen? Let me ask you a few questions. We're going to just kind of enter into a moment of prayer right now. Some of you are like, I've never prayed before. That's okay. God takes first-time callers. Just you and him. Just talk. You don't have to talk out loud if you don't want to. You're welcome to talk out loud if you want to. But I'm going to invite all of you right now, just bow your head, close your eyes. Nothing magical about that. It's just a time to focus. I want you just to envision God in heaven leaning in and listening to you right now. He loves you. He knows you. The question I have for you right now is, what darkness did Jesus bring you out of? Survey your life. What darkness did Jesus bring you out of? And right now, would you just take a minute and just say thank you. Just thank you, God. Just have a moment where you pray, you talk to God, just showing gratitude and thanksgiving for the darkness he pulled you out of. Just take a few seconds, sir. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your light. I'm so grateful. Thank you for pulling me out of that dark little room, the tiny light bulb that was getting dimmer, to a floodlight kind of life in your grace. Lord, we love you. As you continue to pray, let me ask you this. What's one change you need to make? What's one decision you need to make to walk in the light of Christ even more? How are you going to do that? When are you going to do that? There's no way we can talk about Jesus being the light and life and the Holy Spirit doesn't give us conviction about something that needs to change. Right now, would you just confess to the Lord what you sense you need to change? Ask him to help you do it. Just take that time and just talk to the Lord. At this point, I encourage you, think about someone that you know and love who's still living in darkness. Your heart's burdened for them. You know they don't see the light. They're not walking in the light. Just take a minute and pray for them by name. This is a way of prayer called intercession. You intercede for that person. It might even be yourself. That's okay to pray for yourself. But pray for maybe family members, friends who they don't know Christ, they're not walking in the light, and your heart's burdened for them, would you just lift them up to the Lord by name right now? If you're here this morning and you do not have a relationship with Christ, but you want it, you're ready to take that first step of faith, just tell them. Just kind of call it the ABCs of faith. A, admit that you're a sinner that needs God. B, believe in Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done. And C, commit your life to following Jesus forever. You can just pray that. You can just say, God, I admit I'm a sinner and I need you. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he died and rose for me. I commit my life to find forever. Just say that right now. If you've never said that prayer, you can say that right now. Would you stand with me, please? Let's pray. Let's worship, Father. Thank you for this morning. We're so grateful for the light and life of Christ. God, so many of us are personally acquainted with darkness. We know what it's like to feel like we live in a cave. We're so grateful that you didn't wait for us to crawl out, look for you. Lord, you came looking for us. You came. You brought light to us to draw us in. God, we're so thankful for that. Help us to walk as children of light. Father, for those who need Christ, they're exploring you. God, just show up, answer prayer, guide, lead, direct. Let them have courage to ask good questions and find out more about you. God, this Christmas season, may we just look around at all the lights that we see, and just get a big smile because we know it's a reflection that we worship the light who came in to give us life. We ask in Jesus' name. We all said, Amen. Before you leave service, at the end of this next song, we're going to have a couple prayer partners on each side. They're available just to pray with you if you need some prayer. If you want to talk more about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, or you're ready to give your life to Christ, or maybe you prayed that prayer, you can go to them too and let them know, I'm following Jesus. I just made that decision. Find myself, some of the other staff or people, let us know, maybe the Christian friend who brought you, and just say, hey, I want to follow Jesus. I want to know more. If you've got to run, you can fill out one of the little cards in front of you and turn it into the black box. Or come find us in person to make that personal connect. We'd love to tell you more about Christ. All right, let's worship.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. North Bible Church is located in Scottsdale, Arizona, and exists to equip all generations to love God, love one another, and love the world. For more information about North, please visit our website at northbiblechurch.com.